Well, hello there, and welcome in on this hump day, Wednesday, November 15th. We thank you so much for being with us. That is the icon, the main event, and the showstopper, Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling. Again, we thank you so much for being here, spending part of your day with us. Our KHTK NBA insider, Sam Amick from USA Today, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Lots of good NBA stories to dig into. Big game tomorrow. I know the Kings and Hawks are tonight.
That's a big game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Celtics and the Warriors are tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a big one. Celtics won again last night.
They did.
13 straight, one and a half without Kyrie. Kyrie was back last night. We'll talk about the Celtics. We'll talk the limited action that took place in the NBA here in this first hour. One small thought Jay Ross and I will have on the entire AFC, the American Football Conference, including your Oakland Raiders. They got a big one coming up. College basketball kicked off last night. So we'll touch on, it's been going on for a couple of days, but a game everybody was really locked. A number one versus number two. Oh, boy.
In November.
Yeah. Like the third day of the season. We'll touch on that and why Kings fans might have been a little disappointed if they had tuned in to see Marvin Bagley. We'll get into all of that. We'll get to the college football rankings here in just a couple of minutes. Jay Ross, we got to start with get your Bruins. The Bruins are back. Your UCLA Bruins are back on American soil. Thank God we avoided a diplomatic disaster. They just held a lengthy press conference that went substantially longer than I had expected it to. But the three players, they spoke in, Jason, what appeared to be a mix of personal feelings with political, with personal feelings mixed with carefully crafted political statements. All three of them had thank yous to the Chinese government, the U.S. government, Donald Trump, and it was all of those parts of the statement were very carefully constructed and obviously written for them and told, you're going to say this. If you want to apologize for being a knucklehead, you can. All three of them did, and it was a bit strange. And then Steve Alford went out there, the coach went out there, then the UCLA athletic director went out there. They didn't answer any questions. But that's kind of where we are now. Before you jump in with your thoughts, the punishment in terms of on the court was handed out by Steve Alford, and here it is. And as we get going here, Jason, want to let everybody know you could jump in on the conversation, be a part of every conversation here on the text line at 44-1140. We always appreciate that and encourage the interaction. You can also get to us on the phone lines. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Indefinitely is really vague, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, there's a couple of avenues here. Either you, some had suggested, just cut them.
Before you go any further, correct me if I'm wrong. We mentioned Duke and Michigan State. Was Grayson Allen suspended? Duke suspended somebody last year.
Grayson Allen.
Indefinitely. And it wound up being like a game or something. He was basically suspended for like Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
When they were away from the team.
Yeah.
So just to tie into what indefinitely means, it could literally mean nothing.
But hearing it again the second time, if it's as much as what Alford says, as you know, being around teams that if they're not traveling, mm-hmm. if they're not suiting up, they will feel like they're not a part of the team. But again, I think there was a couple avenues here. Either one, you say you're done, you're not a part of the program. That's it. Or you do the super light, like, hey, shame on you. You'll learn your lesson. You're back on the team. Feels like it's kind of in between. So it's strong, but, well, for the moment it feels strong. I mean, if they're back in a week, that's not very strong.
Yeah.
But I also, and I was saying this to Chris after we saw the press conference, the part I don't know enough about is they're knuckleheads. We can all confirm that. What they did was silly and stupid. They said as much. If this happened in the example I gave him was South Carolina, they played at Georgia Tech. So if they played at Georgia Tech and it happened there, still stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an international incident.
Nope.
And so that's the realm I don't No, and for the players to
what
have
you're
to
getting at is if this had happened in Beverly Hills, they wouldn't be suspended. This wouldn't be a conversation. Is that what you're?
I think it's a news item, and then it's. I don't think there's expectations of, hey, you've got to get like people are talking about how the program has to handle this. Where if it's again, yeah, Beverly Hills, wherever U.S. Mm-hmm. somewhere yeah. on U.S. soil, it's like, gosh, those guys are knuckleheads. I think it gets a story because it's part of the Ball family that's involved. If he's not even involved, and it's two UCLA, the other two. Was it Riley
then
and Hill?
Then it's a tweet. Yeah, it's Jalen Hill and Cody Riley.
Then it's two UCLA freshmen caught shoplifting.
It's barely a conversation.
Whatever part of USA. Mm-hmm. And then it's, hey, they need to do this. They need to handle it this way. So I think we're all trying to come up with grand ways to handle it. I honestly don't know how I would have. I think they did okay, and I know that's going to come off as me that's saying, hey, you like UCLA, you're supporting them. I'd still say they're knuckleheads. But I'm anxious to see when the return is. What do they have to do, as kind of they said, to evaluate it and earn their way back? Kids make mistakes. I don't think it's the worst one. I think it's stupid. But I think because it was in China has made it a whole nother issue.
Yeah, I guess we should be careful in using the term knuckleheads. These guys made a bad decision. This is all I want to know, because I know everyone has questions and they want to talk to Steve Alford. They want to do all this. All I want to know is whose bright idea was it? And what made Louis Vuitton? Really? You can't steal a Louis Vuitton pair of anything from the Compton swap meet. And you're trying to do it from a store? Nah, man, the glasses probably have chips in them that track.
Yeah.
You can't steal Louis Vuitton toilet paper. Well, whose idea was it?
Yeah,
whoever was
the ringleader.
Yes, that one deserves to be he
gone. Did,
you know what his punishment should be? 4 years in college.
Yeah,
that's what the punishment should be, because I don't know if any. I mean, LiAngelo is like the least talented of the Ball family, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. You're the UCLA scouter. Are these guys impactful
players? Well, they won
players?
Without him. They beat Georgia Tech without those three guys. But so, I mean, here's the other part about it. Until I think, it was Dan Guerrero, the athletic director, that kind of gave at least a little more detail of the event. Because all we've really heard is that they've stolen, they were kept there, they may be kept there. When he said that they did what they did, and the next day, people from the Chinese police were basically talking to all the Georgia Tech players and all the UCLA players and searching bags, it was like,
dude,
man,
you
just went to the wrong place to do the wrong thing.
You've been to China, right?
I have not.
Oh, I thought you didn't go with the Kings?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I would not want to get in trouble there. Like, I was scared to death there. Like, because I...
Like, you know... Did you know that going in?
Yes, you were told.
Okay.
You were told
I'm sure they were. They said they were.
Well, yes, right. We were... And I have to imagine it was very similar circumstances to them. We were gathered in a room and said, look, when you guys go out in groups. If you're going out with a player, because, you know, the USA basketball, men and women all shared the same. You go out with security. That is non-negotiable. You go out. I don't care where you're going or what you're going to get into. You go out with security if you're going out with a player. If you're not going out with a player, you go out in a group. You do not, under any circumstance, go out alone. And you carry this lanyard with you. And the lanyard had the address to the hotel, to where every cab that you got in, you pointed to, if you got in a cab, this is where I go. And you point to that address right there. And you take a look at your surroundings. You know where you are. And if anything seems fishy, you immediately get out. And it was like, I didn't want to go anywhere. Like, screw this. I can eat in the ballroom. I could do, I'll go to the games with the group. I don't want to go anywhere. Screw this. What? They went out and shoplifted in front. Oh, my God. That's amazing to me. And there was, I remember in Beijing, there was a really high-end mall. And I remember thinking when I got there, I was like, man, I don't belong here. I can't afford anything here. Everybody was going to these, I don't know what they call it, but everyone would call it, we're just going shopping today. And they'd go into these, like, alley. That's how they look like. They were alleyways with stores set up. And, you know, I mentioned this the other day. Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, all those suits, they go to China and get those made because they get made super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people went shopping. I went with former Sacramento King Sheldon Williams. He came back with, like, 10 watches. They were probably all fake, but he was as happy as can be because they looked real.
Them.
He definitely didn't steal them. But I don't want to go out and do any of this. Yeah. Like, they put the fear of God in you when you get there. Like, don't do anything stupid.
Hey, let's see. I don't know. Not that one would matter if it was one or one item, but that they did it in three different stores. They weren't.
Is it entitlement? Like, what? Like, because if Steve Alford or if it was or maybe it was the athletic director. I don't remember which one who said, like you just said, they were told, you know, be aware, be careful, don't get into any trouble, blah, 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 blah. You stole from a Louis Vuitton? You stole from three high-end stores?
Yeah.
Bruh. Goodness gracious, man. That is just so silly to me. And look, I did stupid things when I was 18 or 19. Not that stupid.
Right.
I didn't shoplift on foreign territory.
Right.
I don't know.
Did you think that, I mean, like, honestly, if today we found out that they were kicked off the team, I wouldn't have been shocked, but I don't know if that's I honestly don't know if I was the AD, a UCLA chancellor, the head coach. The only trick, I think, is by not doing something even stronger is now they get another freshman who's pretty good, Hines. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just some more sort of other infraction. Not even, you know, something as silly as this. And then doesn't get the same kind of leash. I mean, I think that's where you're treading on some difficult situations.
Here's what I'll say about being suspended for the year. Like, I don't want them kicked off the team because then what's their motivation to be in school?
Mm-hmm.
Keep them in school. Again, you know, the caliber of these players, and I hate that we're trying to – in basketball, see, it would be a little bit different if it was football. But because it's basketball and because of the way we know that college – The academics for college basketball is greatly different than the academics for it's essentially a joke, and we all know that because of the one and done rule. It's a joke. These guys don't have to go to school, but I don't know that these are one and done players.
Yeah,
I don't know that these are NBA caliber players. So you want to give them a motivation to stay in school, I think. So I'm not for kicking them off the team. If you suspended them for a year and said, "Hey, next season, you know,
we'll reevaluate. If
your academics are up to par and you're essentially on probation." Within the school, your academics are up to par. At some point this year, we'll let you be around the team. You could come to practice. You could do this. You could do that. But you're not going to play. You're not going to suit. You're not going to travel. And you're not going to sit on our bench. And you give them that motivation, and it keeps them in school, fine. If you kick them off the team, they leave school. They find another place to go play. They don't go to school there either. Like,
What if they brought him back? I don't know. I felt like a comfortable time is January, February, but not this year. Would you say no to this year?
No, I wouldn't say no to this year.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't.
But
say
I don't
no
know what
year.
They have to do. Like, they're saying, you know, we're evaluating this situation, seeing how each individual. I don't know what else they have to display going forward, but I think coaches have an idea of. I mean, Steve Alford said it. We recruited him. I feel like I know him. This seemed out of character. Hey, they did it. They're not running from that. But I don't know what else they would do now going forward to prove that they should be back on the team.
Well, I'm sure those parameters will be set privately mm-hmm. to them. And again, it's worth, you know, repeating in that lengthy press conference, it probably went 20 some odd, close to 30 minutes. No questions were asked right. And no questions were answered. So they're not going to be able to avoid that forever. I'm sure there are a lot of questions that are going to come about. And I think one of the first questions, if I was sitting in that media scrum, would be, what do you want from these players? Because you suspended them indefinitely. Now, assuming by the time that he talks to the media, he hasn't already brought them back, which would create a whole other collective eye roll. What do you want to see from these three young men before you bring them back? How responsible is the university for this? Should the university suffer any penalties for this? I don't know. But I'm not for – I was watching Jay Williams and – Seth Greenberg go at it last night about this. And Seth Greenberg, who's a former coach, was adamant that he should be suspended for the year. All three of them should be suspended for the year. It's like, okay, but like why? Like, really? Like, for the whole year? And is it because, again, it's just, there's so much to dissect. Is this because it happened in China? Is this because it happened on foreign soil and it didn't happen in the United States, and now you got the government involved, right? And when you got the government involved, you got Donald Trump involved, and when you got Donald Trump involved, you got Donald Trump's Twitter account involved, and you've created all this unnecessary tension, and you created This morning, before those punishments came out, Donald Trump tweeted about it, and it created an entirely different storyline that was not there prior to him tweeting. And it's like, Jesus.
It became a CNN, Fox, Good Morning America Today, that kind of story, as opposed to just an ESPN sports story.
You want to amuse the hell out of yourself? Click on his tweet and read the replies to it.
Yeah.
Or it anger you or it amuse you. One or the other. Yeah. It just depends on what approach you take to life.
Yeah.
But that storyline wasn't there this morning. That happens in Georgia, as you said earlier. It happens in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Somewhere
happens
else.
In freaking Beverly Hills. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing.
There aren't people waiting at the airport for them to come back. There's not this.
Oh, the amount of photographers and cameras that were there were insane at LAX.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
They're for what it's worth, I feel like it's still out there, still a thing. There's some pretty amazing public shame that's going for these guys.
But
I don't know if we're in such a world. Hey, but I'm getting attention, you know.
Oh, no.
I don't know if that's.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Didn't
I don't
seem
think
like
so.
It, but.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. As we've said, it was a carefully crafted statement mixed with personal thoughts. I do believe the three of them are embarrassed. I was listening to, I forgot the guy's name. I've never seen him before. He was a reporter who was there. I guess he's an ESPN reporter, but he was there with the group. He was there with the teams covering the overseas aspect of this tournament. And he was there when the teams were getting questioned. And he said when it was being explained what happened, he saw LeAngelo and Cody and he realized they had no clue what they had gotten themselves into. They didn't realize the ramifications. Just the look on their face and their body language and their mannerisms, they had no idea what they had just gotten themselves into. And, again, the embarrassment that goes along with that, we've already used the word entitlement. Like, what they were thinking, I can't pretend to know. But just a colossal mistake on their part. And, you know, UCLA's gone with the word indefinite instead of a specific amount of games, so we'll see what indefinite means. Last year, Mike Krzyzewski, indefinite meant one game for Grayson Allen. It meant one game.
He learned a lot in the one game.
He did. Yeah. He meant a lot. He learned a lot in one game in the impending, I think, Christmas vacation it was that he got from that. So, we joke. He scored 37 last night.
So he was really good last night.
Maybe he did learn something. Stick with college here for a few minutes. The college football playoff rankings came out. We were off just a bit, or quite a bit. Alabama at number one. Clemson at number two. Miami gets the third spot for beating previously number three Notre Dame. Oklahoma in at number four. Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, Penn State round out the top 10. What'd you think of that?
I was a little surprised, I guess, I think we had the four, right? But I was a little surprised about Clemson.
Yeah.
That was kind of the one that surprised me. But in the end, like we always say, I guess it will sort itself out. But I was looking at some scenarios that could be these are.
The Clemson-Miami scenario is the weirdest one, right?
Yeah.
I assume if Clemson and Miami play in the ACC championship.
Which they should.
Right.
Or they are.
Which they will. Which they will.
It's confirmed.
Okay, assuming they both win the remainder of their games. And Miami plays Virginia. Clemson plays.
I think they both have two.
Citadel.
Citadel. Yeah.
That's a school?
Yeah. Citadel, yeah.
That's a bank. Isn't that a bank? Don't I see their commercials during the game? That's who Clemson plays.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's set. They'll win out. That'll be set. And the thought is, well, what if Clemson beats Miami, but just barely beats them? And Miami's sitting at one loss. Then what do you do?
Right.
I feel like they had already kind of set that standard. Miami was undefeated and was ranked seventh. You've already established what Miami means to you.
Yeah.
They were seventh. They beat Notre Dame. Okay, so you moved them up to three because you know they're going to play Clemson. But if Clemson beats them, you're going to drop them back out because now they're just a one-loss team who, when they were undefeated, you had them ranked seven.
Yeah, and still undefeated now. They're not one or two. They're three.
Right. Exactly. Undefeated at number three. Well, Alabama's undefeated also. So
right.
But
there's only three left from the power conferences. Wisconsin, who they still don't clearly
They do
love.
Not like Wisconsin.
Yeah, still
they do,
fifth.
They do not want Wisconsin in this college football playoff for anything.
Yeah.
Auburn's sitting there at number six, so you got to assume if they beat Alabama, then what happens? Does Auburn work its way in at two losses? Does Alabama stay in after that? We got some text yesterday when we were having this conversation about could Alabama get in without winning the SEC, and we got a number of texts saying, how can you compete for the national championship when you can't even win your conference? Mm-hmm. And that's been a conversation that's been had forever. Or not forever, but since the playoffs, and I think it was a conversation back during the BCS time too. I'm not as confident that this is all going to work itself out.
I'm not either.
There's going to be a lot of questions headed into that final ranking, I think, because as we said, Clemson will go, Miami will go, then those two will play each other. Now, if Clemson wins by 50 or Miami wins by 50, all right. Or yeah, they win by 20, you know, realistically, they win by 18 to 20, something like that. They win by one in a walk-off field goal. Okay, there's going to be some problems there. How much do you like Oklahoma? Oklahoma beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
They beat TCU. They're going to have to lose again to warrant being out.
Right.
You obviously hate Wisconsin, and you don't want Wisconsin in the college football playoff. So you either pray Michigan beats them or Ohio State beats them in the Big Ten. If Michigan beats them.
Which might happen this weekend.
Right. And if Michigan beats them, I see no way a Big Ten team gets into the four. Even, because if Ohio State beats Wisconsin the following week or in the Big Ten championship, Wisconsin's just got diminished by losing to Michigan.
Yeah.
So it's less meaningful. The most ideal scenario, I think, for the Big Ten is for Wisconsin to beat Michigan, Ohio State to beat Wisconsin, or Wisconsin to beat Ohio State, and then everybody just pray.
Right.
Pray that the committee gives a crap and
yeah,
then see how all of the other pieces fall.
Well, the other scenario I thought that was interesting is a Michigan win this week against Wisconsin, which I think is very possible. What if Michigan beat Ohio State?
Oh, that's
then you have the one side that's totally messy.
I think
you don't love Wisconsin.
I think, but I don't know this for sure. How many losses does Ohio State has two losses. So it would be they have two now. It'd be between Michigan and Penn State to get in, and I don't know who gets the tiebreaker in that college football.
Will Penn State beat Michigan?
Is that the first tiebreaker, the head-to-head?
Should be head-to-head, yeah. They both would have two losses.
Right, they'd both have. So Penn
Assuming
State,
Penn State doesn't lose.
Well, Penn State's only one notch behind Ohio State.
Yeah.
USC's at 11.
Yeah.
I think that's optic. It's a long jump. Yeah, they can't. I mean, they got UCLA. They're not even going to get past UCLA this week.
That is the best thing you've ever
seen.
I know.
I
love it.
I know it. 44-1140. Keep those texts coming. Get the phone lines rolling here at 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We'll shift gears from the college to the pros. And the Boston Celtics, they've won their 13th straight. How are they doing it? And what did Steve Kerr have to say about them in the game tomorrow night? That's next on the Lowdown. Okay, I'm begging you right now. Tell me Nathan Peterman doesn't sound like a character from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I can't.
They're going to the Christmas party at Nathan Peterman's house.
Wasn't the character Peterman?
Was there a Peterman?
I think it was Peterman. Yeah.
Was there a Peterman
that was
character?
Elaine's boss.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. Peterman. Oh, that's why it sounds like a Seinfeld character. Well, that takes the original thought out of that punchline. All right. Let's go to a different sort of punchline. Hey, JR. Oh, hey. Oh, no, I did hit the button. Is he up? JR?
I'm in.
Hi.
Hey there. Hey, the Bank of the Citadel, man, they have a good team.
Yeah, I guess they do. Yeah, they got
teller.
Clemson.
There's not one teller, man. She's got bad skills.
You can't calm down. All right.
Well, you know what's funny about this weekend, though? Alabama plays like Jimmy John's sandwich shop.
Yeah, something. They play Mercer.
Yeah, Mercer.
Yeah.
That's an insurance company.
Right.
So, come on now. I hate when they do that. It's like they try to heal up for the big game.
It's a tune-up for the Iron Bowl, baby.
Yeah, tune-up for the what? And let's get real about UCLA. They should ban all the sports there.
Obviously.
I mean, let's just face them. Let's just put them on probation. Double secret probation.
Ban all UCLA fans as well, JR?
No, just a couple of them. Let them still do professional basketball games if that's their job. We'll let them fly in that. But you got to be kidding me. UCLA is going to crush the Bruins Saturday. I'm sorry, Jay, but that's just the reality. So
is it?
And I'll be there on the Pac-12 game. The question is, who are they going to play? Are they going to play Stanford or Washington State? That's the question.
Yeah.
I got Stanford beating Notre Dame. I'm going to stick with that. JR, you know we appreciate you, buddy.
I appreciate you guys. You do such a great job.
Well, thank you. come in here taunting.
You know what's
me.
Great is he said UCLA is going to beat the Bruins.
He did.
That's fantastic. And I didn't even want to tell him that he said that because he'd be so disappointed that he messed it up. He's really excited to
He's
tell you that.
He's on double secret probation.
He's always that's your boy. Get your boy. Boston won again last night. Come on, 13
straight.
Masked
man.
Yeah, well, that's apparently that's a thing. As you can tell, they did post-game talking into fans.
Yeah, what was that? Was he still wearing the mask?
Apparently. Like, goodness gracious. But, yeah, they won their 13th straight. It is tied for the longest streak, I believe, along with San Antonio, heading into a game facing the Steve Kerr-led Golden State Warriors. There are stats for everything.
Yeah.
13 straight wins. The Boston Celtics have the Golden State Warriors coming up tomorrow in the main TNT game. And Steve Kerr talked a little bit about that. And as a matter of fact, add Steve Kerr to the list of guys who are listening to the Lowdown. Why? Because we talked about the Celtics being the team of the future in the Eastern Conference. Guess what Steve Kerr talked about? The time is up. My time is now.
Yeah.
That's Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, obviously a big listener of the show. We appreciate you, Steve. Thanks, Coach.
Does. I think we agree with it. We say it. We think that. But I would wonder, thinking about them going forward, they will be good. I don't see why they won't be. But couldn't we make a fair argument that they wouldn't have the best player in the East? Right now they don't, because if we still say it's LeBron. But even if we go a few years ahead, would it be Giannis or Porzingis?
Are you abandoning your boy already in Washington?
John Wall? Yeah. I mean, just... And there's nothing wrong with their roster. There's a lot right with their roster. I would agree that, but it's sometimes you feel like you might need the best player or two.
Well, we're caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
We're enjoying
it. But they're really good, and they should be good and relevant for a long time.
I can't wait to talk to Sam Amick. He'll be with us at 2 o'clock, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today. Obviously, the Celtics are kind of the talk of the NBA right now, given the streak that they're on, given that they won a game and a half without Kyrie Irving, two games without Kyrie. And now they're heading in. They'll have some people talking. If you're not talking about the Celtics yet and they get a W tomorrow, you're going to be talking about them then.
Absolutely.
And actually, Chris Mannix, I found this interesting. I heard Chris Mannix talking about how the Warriors feel about the Celtics. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Brooklyn Nets yesterday, 109-102. All five Boston Celtics starters were in double-digit scoring. And both of their four and their five both had double digits in rebounds.
I feel like, though, maybe I'm speaking for you, but others still feel like they wouldn't beat Cleveland. Do you think that?
Right now, I think they'd beat the hell out of Cleveland in a seven-game series. In April, May? No.
Yeah.
Not right now. I mean, like, I'm not willing to...
Well, I guess my point would be this. If they lose to the Warriors tomorrow, which that's not an ups. I mean, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But then you would have lost to Cleveland and Golden State as two of your three losses.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's fool's gold. They're a good regular season team.
I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, what they're doing is great. What everybody's saying is they're the team of the future.
Should be the name of the show.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yes. That should be what we call this.
I'm thinking this out loud going, I do like them. I'm not trying to even diminish them, but I don't know why I feel like Cleveland would still beat them, no matter what Cleveland does.
So they don't make a single adjustment. Well, it's so difficult to judge, and this is one of the difficult parts about the trade that they made is because we're looking at Boston going, man, look at what they're doing with Kyrie Irving. Look how much Cleveland is struggling. Yeah, but the guy Cleveland was traded for isn't there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not playing. And Isaiah Thomas won't be back, I guess, maybe until January or February, or who really knows. And not everybody thinks that Isaiah Thomas not being on Cleveland is a part of Cleveland's problems. And you just heard from Chris Mannix talking about what the Warriors think about the Celtics. Well, here's what he thinks about Isaiah Thomas in Cleveland. So what's so funny about that is you mentioned they're in the bottom third in terms of NBA on defense. They have one of the best pick-and-roll defenses in the entire league, which is, again, one of the most obscure things to keep track of. But apparently through the bulk of the season, they've been really good at the pick and roll. They are a constant baffling team.
Yeah, and I think to me, a lot of defense is a lot about effort, and I would question if they're playing playoff level defense now. I don't think they are, but I think when we saw them last year, when we said they flipped the switch, they did flip the switch defensively, and I think they gave more of an effort. The games meant more. They were worried less about everything else. The matchups, you're zeroed in on who you're playing for 4 to 7 games, and I think they did a pretty good job with that until they ultimately met the Warriors and played them well, just didn't prevail. But what Boss is doing is really impressive. But maybe with Isaiah coming back, like Manic said, if they become that special offensively, then it may not even matter about their defense.
You think Kyrie is like, post games, got like some cognac and a cigar, and he's just sitting around smiling like, I told you guys, I just needed
probably
my
internally,
own,
yeah.
I just needed my own crew. Like his hype man, you know, when he gets out of the locker room after games, are hyping him up about how great this move to Boston was. And I wouldn't be mad if he was. Like, if he's feeling himself, he should be, because
he's playing great.
He's him. It's Kyrie and it's James Harden. And for fun, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kristaps Porzingis in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
You know, through the first 13 games of the season. But right now, it's Kyrie and it's James Harden. And the other two, they're fun. They're at a distant third and fourth because of where their teams are.
Yeah. But then we'll get in that spot again. We're probably at the end of the year when the Warriors win 68 or more games. It's like, hey, you know, Durant's averaging, are we ignoring them? But
yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Just like
they're off to a slow start. Is it that slow?
The MVP of the league is LeBron James.
Right.
That's the MVP. Sorry, yeah. It is. But no, it's not going to be. And
not
the,
at 500 or 45 wins.
Steph is going to cancel KD out. KD is going to cancel Steph out. There's going to be Draymond lovers out there who are going to be like, no, man, this Draymond holds us all together. Hey, what about Klay? Klay went for 77 points in 5 minutes at the Golden 1 Center against the Sacramento Kings one first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Those are always going to be the conversations when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. I mentioned James Harden. Man, if there was one player in the entire league that I want De'Aaron Fox to watch, it's James Harden. We'll explain why next on the Lowdown. I want to get to Ahmad here on the phones. I want to get to your phone calls as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Couple of texts I'll share with you here. Jay Ross. Kyrie is awesome to watch, but that man will never win another ring. It just won't happen. That's from my man Dave. Remember when people were panicking about the Patriots early in the season, including you guys? I'm sure, like the Patriots, the Cavs will be fine. I don't think we were panicking about the Patriots, were we?
No, but the one similarity would be, remember how they were the worst defense in the league. They're not anymore, but they were at the time. Cavs are near the bottom.
Are you sure they're not?
No.
Okay. We got one small thought on the AFC East coming up here in just a little bit. I'm pretty sure I got the teams right today.
Okay.
I'm not.
I can't wait to hear about the Saints.
I don't think there was any division realignment when it comes to one small thought, but you might be surprised where the Patriots rank defensively. Ahmad, what's happening, buddy? Great to hear from you.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I just wanted to talk about, you guys were talking about the Celtics and the Warriors. I feel like there's still too many question marks in the season. I mean, granted, we've had a small sample size of how they're playing, but I mean, Isaiah Thomas isn't even back for Cleveland, and I don't know how much he changes the team. I mean, he's a 30-point per game scorer last season. So we'll see how he does. And then with Chris Paul coming back for him, I mean, Houston's playing great basketball, but Chris Paul hasn't even been integrated into the team yet.
Right.
So there's that. And then we got Oklahoma City struggling, but really I feel like it's more chemistry issues rather than maybe the style of play. I don't know. What do you guys think about Oklahoma City?
Yeah, that's defensively they've played pretty well. Yeah. Offensively are their struggles.
Yeah, do you think it's just ball stagnant play on the offensive end, maybe just too many
I think it's the exact opposite in terms of the ball being stagnant, really? Which everyone would have predicted with Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George on the same team. I think they're trying to move the ball too much, and they're trying not to step on anybody's toes. That's why if you look at a lot of their games, they're scoring in like the 80s, low 90s. You would expect the exact opposite from that, especially when you add Steven Adams in there getting rebounds and offensive rebounds and things like that. And especially with how well they're playing defensively, they have the ability to push the ball up the floor. I just think they're trying to fill each other out, and they don't want to offend anyone or bother anyone. We've seen games where Russell Westbrook has tried to take over in the fourth quarter, and it hasn't worked. And I just think they don't have a feel for each other yet. That's all.
do you feel as if Billy Donovan's the right coach?
That's an interesting question.
We've seen what he's been able to do with Durant and Westbrook. Granted, right. I mean, I think the team was built by Scottie Brooks when he took over. So really, like, when they made it to the Western Conference Finals, the team was already established, and he had two outstanding scorers. So I just don't know where to measure Billy Donovan as far as whether he's able to coach three superstars.
Yeah, now we appreciate you, Ma. Thank you for the call, and I'm gonna try to answer that right now. We said this last year. Monty Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Monty Williams' absence from that team, I think, is a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
They were in a flow last year. They were able to, you know, Russell Westbrook was, you know, doing what he did. I don't know. Maybe, you know, how could Monty Williams help with these three individuals trying to play together, trying to still integrate Steven Adams and some of the different pieces that they have around there? I don't know. Billy Donovan, I've never been like positive about.
Yeah,
you know, like unsure about him.
Well, and I think what you said to Ahmad about the offense, I think is right on, because watching them in person, they were here. I really was impressed with their defense, and I think the one guy we can even look at specifically offensively is Russell Westbrook. The reigning MVP had a dynamic offensive season where he led the league in scoring. You knew the volume of shots were coming from him. Now I think he's still averaging 20, but I think he's like 25th in the league in scoring. So when I watched them and when they were here, I went, yeah, I feel like it's Westbrook's still show. It's like his. But there's been a night where George goes off and Carmelo, and I just don't think they figured it all out how they're going to blend that offensively yet.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling, man. What's on your mind?
Not much. You commented on OKC and their style of play. I think, and we may have to disagree about this, but they do not create offense quick enough. If when you've got that many prolific scorers, you've got to create more shots, which means that you should come down and increase the pace of play. So it's their pace that they're not moving. I mean, you're going to be a better defending team if you're defending less shots throughout the whole game. But I think that Westbrook needs to generate a shot faster or give it to Carmelo and have him shoot. And that pace of play will increase more shots and make them happier and then get transition shots, just like Golden State. I mean, that's all. They're wanting to go up to the line and set up their format for offense, and you see them just standing around like, okay, it's my turn, let's go, okay, shoot. No, just force the shot, give it to Adams, get a Westbrook shoot, but they have to set a time limit like within 3, 4, or 5 seconds to create more shots. What's your opinion?
No, we don't disagree at all on that, Jeff, and that's kind of goes along with what we were talking about, and thank you so much for the call, man. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. It goes along with what we were talking about there, is they're timid when they go to pass to each other. They make, you know, sometimes it's good to make the extra pass. Sometimes it's great to make two extra passes. Sometimes we watch the Spurs and they made 7 passes and the ball never touched the floor. It's the God most beautiful thing in basketball. Okay, that doesn't work for everybody. That works for the Spurs, mm-hmm. and the Spurs are okay scoring 70 points and winning. Oklahoma City, it doesn't really work for them. Jeff, you're absolutely right. Russell Westbrook will push the ball, but he'll go to Carmelo Anthony. Then Carmelo will go to Paul George, and then Paul George will go back to Russ, and then Russ will go back to Melo. Steven Adams is like, hey, I'm down here too.
Right.
Let's give me the ball. And then before you know it, 20 seconds of the shot clock has come off, and if one of those 5 guys can't get their shots, then a bad shot goes up. They have been strangely again, Carmelo's – I think the biggest question with Melo going into Oklahoma City, or really Melo going on to any other team, would be, would his efficiency improve? Would his shooting percentage go up? Because he'll have better players around him. I'd imagine the defensive strategy for Oklahoma City has been a lot different than anything he had in New York or Denver. And it hasn't. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it falls into line with what we were just saying and that they're constantly trying to move the ball. And when they do, they're getting bad shots to end the shot clock. I don't know what the strategy that Billy Donovan. So going back to that question about Billy Donovan is, I honest to goodness don't know. Like, I've never been high on him. I thought Monty Williams was a great Robin to his Batman, I guess. If you're an assistant, you're obviously taking the back role despite the influence I think he had on that team. But maybe he's not. But I don't know who would be the right coach to lead this group. I think those three guys, including, you know, Steven Adams and the rest of the Oklahoma, they got to figure it out themselves. And they got to figure out what style of play they want to implement when they're out there.
And I don't know what's easier. A coach would be a good one to ask this to, but easier to, if you like, they're ahead, I think, of the curve defensively. They're a better defensive team than they are offensively.
And it rarely works out like that, right?
Yeah. So, like, with that group with three great scorers, can they get the offense going? Would that be easier? Or is it, like, if they were great scoring and couldn't stop anybody, which would be the bigger problem?
Well, let's bring up what you just said a second ago, earlier, talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. Defense takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
Are they extenuating too much effort on the defensive end?
I don't know. I'm just
I don't know. I don't know either. And it's killing them offensively. Like, I don't know.
Well, and I think there are other two players that in their starting five are good. Roberson's a really good defender, and so is Adams. So then you get those. And Westbrook's pretty tenacious. But, yeah, I mean, again, I think they will sort it out. I think there's too much high-level talent on that team to not.
I mean, it's a win anytime you keep Roberson off the foul line.
Yeah.
So if you just, hey, your job is to play defense.
Right.
You might not touch the leather the whole time you're in there.
Yeah.
And if they start that Hacker Roberson, we're probably going to make a change.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, early season hiccups.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where they go. James Harden is not having any hiccups at all. He had 38 last night. James Harden did not shoot well last night. He went to the line 19 times. 19. I'd said just a few minutes ago, if there was one player that I wanted De'Aaron Fox to watch and model himself after, it's that guy. He gets to the foul line. He penetrates to the basket and can still find the open man. He can finish. Now, I know I'm asking a rookie to be,
yeah,
you know, a top 4 or 5 NBA player in the entire league. But if you were to just watch film on and try to model yourself after, man, James Harden is as good as it gets. And especially in that, when his shot's not falling, all right, cool. I know what to do to help my team get points.
He's a tough watch, though, sometimes.
The flailing?
Yeah. But, hey, De'Aaron needs to figure out something.
When you have a rule named after you, you've probably done one thing one too many times.
Yeah.
And that's what the James Harden rule is, that flailing on the three-point shot. We'll come back. We'll shift gears a little bit. We'll get back into basketball. We'll touch on Blake Griffin. We talk about how great Kyrie Irving has been. Me and Kyrie got something in common. I'm going to tell you all about that. Plus, Jay Ross and I got one small thought on the American Football Conference, the AFC. We switch gears, talk about football, including your Oakland Raiders next.